The Magic Podcast. Hosted by Lloyd Barnes and Craig Petty. Your all-access, behind-the-scenes insight into the current happenings of the magic industry. Where Craig and Lloyd will thrust themselves deep inside your ears every Wednesday to rant, dissect, and give you their raw and unfiltered views on the art of magic. So, lock your door, take out your deck, and brace yourself for the Magic Podcast.
Welcome back to the Magic Podcast with me, Craig Petty.
And me, Lloyd Barnes. I hate saying it like that. It doesn't feel right.
We need to come up with a new intro. But you know what? When we did the podcast last week, I never told anyone we were doing a podcast. And I walked in to my office and Michael was sitting there. And he's like, what have you been doing? I was like, I just filmed a podcast. He's like, you've done what now? I'm like, I filmed a podcast. He's like, oh, is this the bi-yearly one? I'm like, no. He said, no, he actually said, what have you got to sell?
Baby.
He's like, what have you and Lloyd got to sell? I'm like, nothing. We're just doing a podcast.
That's what the fucking boy said to me as well. Oh, what product are you bringing out? Fucking assholes. But well, actually, we do have a few, but still, that's beside the point. And all the boys like, fucking Michael did me dirty in the thumbnail by using the I think it's like a six-year-old photo of me where I looked like a lady golfer.
That Pillsbury Doughboy. I did tell him that. Somebody actually commented in the YouTube video and he went, you attacked somebody a few years ago. I think he was talking about the time when it was you and me and Unbiased and all of that. And I was like, why did you use a picture of Lloyd fat? And he's like, you had to go at a reviewer for using a fat Lloyd picture. And now you've used a fat Lloyd picture. I was like, it's Michael. He fucking hates Lloyd.
Someone's commented in last week's episode. I didn't realize that I haven't read these comments, but Craig Lloyd, Mexico is not South America. Come on, guys. Oh, fuck. Is Mexico not South America? My geography is shit. I apologize to all of our Mexican friends and our South American friends for getting that.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing from day to day. I haven't got a clue.
We just go to Mexico to lecture together with Tobias Dostal. It's going to be mental.
Oh, is Toby doing it as well?
Yeah, I don't know if I should have announced that.
Fuck. Whoops. Well, that's the greatest lineup ever. It's like me, Tobias, and you. It's like a remake of Two Men and a Maybe.
It's like one grandmaster wizard and two court jesters, literally.
Yeah, it really is.
Right. First order of business. There's so much to cover today. New products, fucking things happening, any controversy or sorry, not sorry. But first order of business. I've forgotten what the date is, but
We've sorted it out.
The Magic Podcast Meetup. It is happening Wednesday.
It is happening on Wednesday, the 18th of February. So the day before the convention kicks off, Wednesday, the 18th of February, we have exclusive use of the House of Secrets from 3 o'clock until 7 o'clock. At 7 o'clock, they'll open the doors to everyone else. But all of the stuff that we've got planned, Lloyd's lecturette, my lecturette, everything else that we've got planned, the podcast listeners, that is our time. Nobody else is allowed in unless you have registered a ticket online. Tickets are now available at houseofsecretsmagicbar.com. You click on what's on, scroll down to the Magic Podcast, and you can sort everything out there.
It's a 4-hour event. It starts the Blackpool officially begins on Thursday, the day before, when most people arrive, or a lot of people arrive, at 3 p.m. in the afternoon till 7. It's exclusively the Magic Podcast. It's a live, multiple lectures, some guest lecturers, and some surprise events happening. And also, just the reason we started this initiative was for people who have never been to conventions before to meet people before the convention starts. So you've got some people to hang out with throughout the weekend, because it's a massive convention and it's so easy to get lost in like the minutiae of it all. And so, yeah, it's going to be fun. Come along. I'm sure we'll give away some cool stuff. You're going to learn some magic. You're going to see some surprise magic. There's always massive names there. Like there was, I think Nick LaCapo was there last year. Peter Turner. We had Eric Tate fucking lectured at it and taught his incredible signed card pocket routine for the very first time. Wayne Goodman lectured. You lectured, I think.
Yeah, well, I did a performance of the Atomic Deck.
That's right. We had Pig Cake there. We had some massive names just like lingering in the background. And I was like, oh my God, what the fuck is this person doing here? So, so that's from 3 PM till 7. So basically, before you get drunk, come and hang out with us, get drunk around us. You can get drunk. I don't drink. And then afterwards, it opens up to all the other magicians. So anyone they're basically just going to get busy with more magicians.
A couple of people said to me, oh, I'm not going to get to Blackpool until like 3:30. I'm like, don't worry. We're going to have stuff going on throughout the 4 hours. So if you can't get there until 4:30, you're still going to see a ton of stuff. But it's not going to be videoed. It's not like we're going to put this up anywhere else. This is just going to be exclusive for the Magic Podcast. And it's going to be a super fun. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be very, very different, I think, this year, because it starts earlier and it's kind of much more planned and much more structured. But yes, what's the website called again?
houseofsecretsmagicbar.com. And then once they go there, they click on what's on. When they click on what's on, you've got all of the dates that are going to be taking, all the events that are taking place over the House of Secrets, including a bunch of performances that Ryland's doing. But forget about all of those. You just literally go straight to Magic Podcast with Craig Petty and Lloyd Barnes and just click on view events.
How much are tickets?
Tickets are £10.
And just so people know, we don't make any. That's purely that Wednesday is one of the, because it's so many magicians in town, it gets rammed full of magicians. We were taking up one of his busiest nights of the entire year, and we were basically getting people to jam and watch a lecture, and not many people were using the bar, so he was losing fucking money.
Loads of money. So it's literally just to cover the venue.
So you're just covering his staffing costs and the money he would have lost. He's gonna lose. So absolutely, we don't see a penny of that. It's like it's a non-profit event. I see it as free, but it's a tenner just to cover the bar and the staff and shit. So
promise you, it's the best £10 you'll spend at Blackpool as well. And
man, the amount of people that come and what I love about it, like we said last week, is that it just literally, you see a lot of the stuff that's coming out before the convention starts, so you know where to run on opening day of the dealer hall before shit sells out. You get like the lowdown and stuff, and then mainly you meet people
and you know what I love about it, because you and me are there, and you know people like Jake are there and so on and so forth, you have people bringing tricks that they're planning on releasing, or it's their pet effect and they're wanting to know how to actually release this or how to market it or how to pitch it to somebody, or maybe they're pitching it to you. And you're seeing these fantastic tricks that you've never seen before, and they're just doing them for everybody in the bar. And it's like, that's some of the best magic that I see at Blackpool. Like, not the stuff that's out in the dealer hall, but the stuff people are showing, their pets routines for like years, and they're, you know, they're just showing them.
I do this Blackpool best tricks video every year, and a large majority of the best tricks end up being filmed on day one in that magic bar, because one of the beautiful things about it is the Ruskin is Mecca, but it's so fucking rammed now, it's pretty hard to like move around. The first night in that magic bar, I mean, I think it's gonna be a busy one this year, because last year we didn't really advertise it. In fact, last year I didn't even know it was happening. I didn't know it was on. No. So, but you get a bit more breathing room there, and it's not as fucking insane. So, I get a chance to see more magic.
Yeah, and the other thing about the House of Secrets that's really nice is it's got that stage with those TVs behind you. So, and it's got an overhead cam that goes straight down onto the close-up mat. So, for a lecture, it's a perfect place to have lectures as well.
Yeah, yeah, it's really good. So yeah, houseofsecretsmatchbar.com. Pick up a ticket, £10 just to basically reserve the place. Yeah. And it's gonna be a blast. And if nobody turns up, me and you will do a podcast and slag everyone off.
And that's
speaking of slagging people off. Fuck you, Tyler Lunsford, you little cunt.
What's Tyler done? I haven't. You know what? Sarah said to me the other day about Tyler. She was like, What? I haven't heard from Tyler for years. Like, and I was like, yeah, I don't know. He put a video on his channel like a couple of years ago going, I'm leaving Abstract Effects. And I was like, yes, that's the best fucking thing you could do. Walk away from that shit show, mate. I'm leaving Abstract Effects and I'm going to set my own production company up. And then I haven't heard from him for like 2 years on his YouTube channel anywhere. He's just vanished.
A cowboy magician. No, I'm only saying, well, he's coming to Blackpool this year. What happened was, not last Blackpool, the Blackpool before, he came over, had a blast, bought us t-shirts. Tyler, I'm expecting a t-shirt, a new custom t-shirt with a picture of Craig's face on a set of testicles again. I use that t-shirt all the time for painting. I bought it the other day. But he came over, him, Jake, Bo, Kremer, I think RJ, maybe little Glowworm, Sam Sugarman. They all went to a gay bar, and Tyler broke his fucking leg in the gay bar, coming out of the gay bar. And he was like really bummed out. Not like that, in that way. He was really sad about it. He had to go to hospital, literally leg in a cast, and then spent a year crying while making sweet love to his sister slash cousin slash new wife. And now he's back in business. But basically, he messaged and he was like, so he said, can't wait to hear another podcast again in a year's time. After I spent so long last week, we both spent so long last week telling everyone how we're back every single week consistently. And then he threw it back in my face like a failure. So here I said, fuck you, Tyler. We're recording it tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you believe me. So, yeah.
Yeah, 2 weeks in a row. Yeah, he needs to get back on YouTube. Tyler's the GOAT. I can't wait to see him. He's a great guy. One of the OGs.
He's all right.
No, he's a great YouTuber. He was doing YouTube before I even considered doing YouTube. He's a good guy. He's a good guy. So
he's got a good personality for YouTube. He's not overbearing. He's not fake. He doesn't look for controversy. Kind of just he's got that really solid, sensible everyman appeal. And the last few reviews he put up, I think he put performances with them.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
And because I say your reviews don't count unless you prove you've performed it.
You know? I don't understand why more reviewers don't actually perform the tricks that they review. I see so many people that unbox. I'm not having a go at them. You know, Magic Orthodoxy is a great guy. I'm going to shout him out until the world is long. He does a fantastic job on his YouTube channel.
The amount of content he puts out is
it blows insane. Me away. And that's not his only channel. Like, people don't realize he's got more than one channel. That's just one of his channels. He must people say I work hard. He must be recording content constantly. And what he does is great, because he opens up the box and he shows the product and he's like, this is what you get. And you can tell he's watched the tutorial, but it feels more of an unboxing, almost like a QVC demonstration of what you're getting.
But I think that's what it is. That's a whole subgenre, because there's that unbox therapy channel on YouTube, where the guy basically just unboxes things and goes through them like as a new user. And that's essentially how I see Magic Orthodoxy. Is like, he takes every product, almost every single product, and he does an unboxing, which is literally what you want sometimes. But in terms of reviewing a product, it's a slightly different category, you know?
Yeah.
Do you know who has a really good review channel? Is and I was watching some of his videos last night. Let me pull up it's Alex De La Fuente, and he does his reviews.
Oh, yeah, the French guy.
He does the same review in French and English, and he has a French channel and an English channel. I think he records them twice. But it's so in depth. The review I watched, at least last night's review, he had a performance in it. I think he performed it to his wife, and it was so thorough. So I was really impressed. I think I've seen a few of his videos before, but I didn't. But the I can't remember if they were as good as that one. But at least the one I watched last night was really well done, really well put together. I'm trying to find the link to his channel name, so other people can watch him too. But yeah, Alex De La Fuente, or Alex DLF, his name is.
Yeah, he's released some magic in the past with World Magic Shop. He's bought some...
Very clever guy.
Really, he bought out a thing. I'm sure it was him that bought out a few years ago a ESP matchup style routine using Uno cards, which was just a genius idea. And they were marked really cleverly as well. Smart thinker, really, really clever thinker.
I'm trying to find... I typed Alex DLF Magician into YouTube, and it doesn't pop up with his channel. I found YouTube lately, the search feature on it is so weak that you put in videos, it'll show you somewhat related videos, and then it's like, oh, you might be interested in watching fireplace videos. And it's like, what the fuck? Like, it's so strange. Anyway, I cannot find his channel and I'm searching his name.
I know he has reviewed Kima.
Oh, it's okay. It's my fault. It's Alexis, his name is. I think his name might be written Alex DLF somewhere. Alexis with an apostrophe. So Alexis's reviews.
Yeah,
it's a blue icon with a black top hat and a white rabbit. Alexis's reviews. It's really, really well done.
Right. Yeah, he's a really great guy. He's a really, really good guy. You know, actually, you know, talking about reviews, I at the end of every year on my channel, I do a best tricks of 2020, the best tricks of the year and the worst tricks of the year. And it's
you're going to vote for yourself again?
Always. No, I never put my I never put my own products in the top 10 or the worst 10, because if I did, the worst 10 would just be me the all way through. So, but what I do is I rank my tricks on a separate video. But I was putting the best tricks and the worst tricks list together, because I'm going to film it after this. And the best tricks, and the reason I'm bringing this up is you talked about Tobias earlier on and how he's the GOAT and he's one of the best creators of all time. And he absolutely is. And I think this shows how good a creator he is. Like, he's always in discussion as like the top magic creator of all time. I went back through everything that's come out this year. I'm pretty sure he hasn't really brought out anything this year.
He brought out...
Not Repo, that came out last year.
The liquid metal tricks, the two different ones?
Yeah, they came out before Repo.
Did you see the thing he released with Chris Ramsey, the bottle trick?
Yeah, bottoms up, that's on the list. But that's the only thing I could find. The only thing I could find was the bottle trick. Both of the liquid tricks, Liquid Spectrum from Illusionist and Liquid from Murphy's, or the other way around, whatever, and Repo from Murphy's, they were all last year.
Huh. Well, mate, it takes time to percolate those miracles. They don't just pop out of, like... Look,
it does.
What Tobias does is he lays a golden egg. What you do is lay a trail of rabbit shit. A little fucking dot.
So fucking true. I was putting my list together, right? I rank my tricks every year, and I remember.
Wait, I'm also one of those types of rabbits that lays lots of little drops of shit.
I rank my own tricks, right? And I've got the list here. And last year,
we have the same phone.
It's a sexy phone.
Right. I bought it just because it's orange.
It's fucking gorgeous. I love this phone. So last year I bought out 12 tricks in a year, and I'm like, that's a lot. That's one every month. There's some production companies that aren't bringing 12 tricks out in a year. I can't do that in 2025. I'm going to have to slow down a bit. I can't do 12. I've just looked at it. I had 19 tricks come out this year. It's fucking ridiculous.
Literally makes me, it makes me feel sick. Your work,
makes me
your
feel
output.
Sick.
Dude, I am in my first year or 2 years of YouTube, I put out 52 tricks in a year.
I still don't know how you did that, man. I still don't know how you did that. I still don't know how you managed that.
Well, the only way it was possible, because they weren't product releases. It was possible because I was just filming them, recreating them on the day, filming them on the day, releasing the video on the day. So it was just one full day of work. Whereas how you do these like 19 releases in a year, you have to create it. You have to then work on prototyping and refining it, which is a fucking huge process. Then you have to go out and film it whilst it's being made. Then you have to do all like the marketing and shit. Then you've got to get into all the controversy that which comes as standard with your trick and fight that for 3 or 4 weeks at a time. Like, I don't know how you do that 19 times over in a year. By the way, the Z Fold wallet project looks amazing.
Do you want me to? Well, I'll get Pete to send you the download if you want. I'm so happy with that. There's some incredible stuff in there.
I watched the trailer. I was like, even from the trailer, I was like, oh, fuck, I've never thought of using a Z Fold wallet. And like I'm sure that you've like probably found inspiration from other places, but I haven't put much stock into Z Fold wallets. And like, there was a routine where you were taking six or a load of blank cards and they were picking one and you were putting the rest in the wallet. And I'm assuming the ending was that you switched that wallet to show they all had something on and the one they picked. Or something, but it was like, oh, what a clever way of using it as like a universal, not universal force, but a force technique. And first thing I thought was like taking a card, getting it wrong, tearing it up, putting sellotape on it, and like, oh, I'll come back to that later, and then switching it for one with sellotape and a fake tear on it. You peel it off and it's sealed. But that's kind of lame. I don't know, but yeah.
That's
as soon as I seen like the style, the directions you were going, which was kind of more away from just the standard switching, I was like, ah, oh, fuck, he's done it again.
Yeah, it's really, really well received. They brought it out to Black Friday, and I've had more reviews for that than I have most of my other products already. I think it's like on 10 reviews after a couple of days. So,
Those
yeah.
big expansive product projects that you do, taking an old concept and sort of reattacking it from new angles, or attacking it from new angles, is one of the best things that you do. It's one of your big strengths, I think.
It's a labor of love because it takes so long. I can only really do one or two of those a year because I'm constantly just like, for there's 22 routines, I think. 20, no, 30 routines. So 30, 29, somewhere, 29 or 30 routines on that project. And there was at one point about 80. And it's like, okay, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. That's not good enough. And every single one of them has been performed live to real people. So you
I
can
don't
see
know
the
how you do that,
reactions.
man. It
It's
fucking blows my mind how you do that.
every single one
Well,
of them.
speaking of new releases, I forgot how rusty I was last week, man, in the last podcast. We forgot to mention Peter Nardi's gleaming, shining, pristine, sweaty bollocks.
Well, I'll tell you something about Peter Nardi's bollocks, and the rest of
Oh,
him,
I
actually.
want to know everything about them in
I think
fucking
we need to give
detail.
a shout out that this is going up on the Wednesday, obviously. On the Thursday, they've got the Alakazam Christmas special live on Alakazam's YouTube and Facebook page.
And
You're gonna
what's that got to
have.
do specifically with his
I heard
fine
that he's
hairs
gonna.
of his
I
balls?
heard he's gonna bring his nadgers out on screen, and is gonna get Wayne Goodman playing the bongos on them. So
Oh,
that's gonna
yes.
be a moment for everyone to
I
tune
want to
in.
see Wayne Goodman wear them like an Arabian gas mask. What is that?
Oh, that was so cool.
That's not even. Yeah,
Yes,
but that
definitely.
sounds
But
fun. That sounds super fun.
well, I just filmed a 20-minute lecturette for them because they said, "Can you teach something on there? Something that you've never taught anywhere else?" So I did a 20-minute lecturette for them. I know they're giving away loads of prizes. They do it every year. Wayne Goodman's going to be there, just dressed as Santa, probably like last year. You get it's always a really nice, fun thing. So yeah, it's yeah. And what do you think, by the way? We never talked about this because this happened during our hiatus. What do you think of Alakazam buying Print by Magic? You know that, right? You know they bought Print by Magic.
Oh yeah, phenomenal. Absolutely
Such a smart
phenomenal.
idea, right?
Yeah, it makes sense to, because Print by Magic, I've used them, fuck. I used James Anthony's company so many times. It's not even funny. But yeah, I felt like it could, like, Alakazam is established and it's big. And it was like, it just felt right to give it a big boost, to give it a new home,
I
possibly.
agree.
Have you used it? Have you used them?
I have. I've used them a couple of times. I've got a prototype of something that I got them to make for me, and
Amazing.
the quality is amazing. And they're just making a deck of cards at the moment, themed for Ryland. I'm getting them a Magic and Mischief pack of cards for Christmas, so it's got their own. It's
Oh,
got their show
hell
poster
yeah.
on the back and stuff. So they're making those for me at the moment. Yeah, they're incredible. Absolutely
How,
incredible.
For people who don't know, Print by Magic basically was started by James Anthony in the UK. And what you could do is just send in any design that you want, and it can be printed onto bicycle stock playing cards. So if you wanted to make custom gaffs, then you could, it's the, it was the most easily accessible way to get it done, especially on like short turnaround times. And so now they've been acquired by Alakazam. So if you have an idea for a trick, or like you wanted a custom deck, you don't have to go through hoops and, oh, I'm to make minimum orders of like 2,500 cards anymore. You can, it's now in the UK. Well, it was in the UK, but now in the UK, I'm just reiterating that, you can just send your design over to Alakazam and they will make your gaff for you.
Which is just
Fucking
killer.
phenomenal. Yeah,
It's amazing.
phenomenal.
It saves so much time on prototyping. Outside of everything else, it saves so much time on
I
prototyping.
actually made the cohort gaff system prototype with Print by Magic.
Oh, really? That's cool. I didn't know that. I actually had the first Mind Blocks deck done by
And
Print by Magic.
Iris. You know those Iris bills where you take a banknote and it fades into a card and
Yep.
it's melted in through it? That all of those were made by Print by Magic, the official ones that were sold.
Oh, that's very cool. Actually, talking about tricks that you've created, what's your opinion? We haven't talked about this, and it's just popped into my head for some reason. What's your opinion on Vacuum by You know, the somebody took your Acme portable hole and made it into a jumbo card. I think they called it. Not the one that Steve O. Watson makes. The same company that does the Prestige.
Oh yeah. I think they're using a, like, from what I can see,
is it a different method?
I think it's a different method. So,
oh, okay, I didn't know. I haven't got it, so I wasn't aware of the method.
No, I mean, like, I'm not too. If they were using the exact same method, because the kind of concept of, like, that portable hole wasn't unique to me either, you know, in magic generally, like, because look at Michael Close.
Yeah.
His, I think, was his called Potholes? Was this the first one called Pothole? From
even before Michael, you had Mike Powers do the Unholy Terror. I think it was Unholy Terror. And Paul Wilson had a matrix with holes in a card.
Yeah, and like the Tenure one was a big inspiration to me, even though there was no sticker element on the Tenure one. So if they had just used the same method as me on the jumbo card, which I've given Steve O. Watson to do the jumbo cards, then that would be shit. But I think they're using a different method.
Oh, okay.
So I know there's a lot of magicians out there, man, that you see them a million times a year. They think they have complete ownership over an entire, like, trick because they've put a version of it out, or they put the first iteration of it out. And, like, yeah, I suppose when you get, you know, like, I suppose they're not wrong, but this is I don't know. I think oftentimes those creators are short of cash or aren't actually artists. Like,
yeah,
I don't consider myself an artist per se, but Acme Hole was created in 2 hours, and it was, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm not too pressured. It's like there's some things, like if somebody pinched a Lux idea like that, which was, like, really, really, really unique to me and stuff, and they replicated that exactly, I'd be kind of pissed off. But, you know, I didn't come up with the portable hole effect. It, you know, there was a lot of, like, there's, like, 30, 40 years before me of all inspiration that came together to make that. Even the method that I come up with is, like, a new method. But it, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I've always found like the biggest and the best creators in the world, bar a few, kind of have the same ethos as me, that, like, for magic to advance, we kind of have to be a lot more open to people building upon our original ideas. And the moment you try and stop growth, and you stop, or you prevent people from trying to take the concepts further and genuinely improve them, like, if everybody had that same mindset, we'd be in the fucking dark ages of magic, you know? So if I had a look at it, people sent it to me, and I was like, different method. I think you can do things with it that I couldn't do with Acme Hole. Mm-hmm. So cool.
Although I mean, you know, things evolve, things improve over time. Absolutely, 100%. I will shout out to anybody that doesn't know, your new version of Acme Portable Hole that you showed me over Zoom, and then you lectured on it at the YMC, that I was completely fooled. Not just a little bit fooled, not just slightly fooled, I was completely fucking fooled. Sometimes you go, I'm fooled, and then you kind of say to yourself, but it could have been this, it could have been this, it could have been this. I didn't even have a method. If somebody had told me to do what you did, and as cleanly as you did it, I wouldn't even have a method for that. And what surprised me about it when you showed it me, it's fucking practical as well. It is the way that trick should be done. It's so practical. It's so awesome. It really is.
Thank you. I think it's if someone was to steal that version, I'd be pissed, because it's really unique in terms of how it works and the structure of everything, and the, it's more about the overarching thinking behind it. But yeah, man, I'm really, I'm insanely fucking proud of that. Insanely proud of it. If you want to see it and learn it, I'm teaching it on stage at the, I opened my magic circle lecture with it. I'm teaching it at the session. I'm opening my session lecture with that. And I'll teach it at the podcast. But for food for thought, to get people thinking, I'm reluctant to say this because this is the thought that came to my head that got me to create it. So I'm conscious that other people may come up with the same method too. I don't know if they will.
I don't see how. I don't think they will. I will not blow smoke up your ass, and I'll call you out when I. But this is fucking genius level thinking. I would never have thought of this in a million years. Like, there's just no way my head.
So I'll tell people who are watching and listening what the concept is, or just the effect. So Acme Hole, if you haven't seen it, it's a trick where you have a card with a giant hole through the middle of it, like a 1-inch hole. You can poke your finger through or whatever. And then that hole, you like snap your fingers, it becomes sticker, a black sticker, and you can peel it off. So the new version of Acme Hole.
Because the old version couldn't be handed out. It was a flap. And
it was a fully gimmicked card, and you had to do a big fucking switch at the end, at the moment when everyone wants to see the card. And it was 10 years after I created it, I think I was looking at this lecture that I'm doing, and I was thinking, if I would criticize that trick, what would I say? I say, well, it can't be examined. So the new version is you have the hole, the card with a hole in it, you put your finger through or whatever. You snap, you peel the sticker off, and immediately give the card away to be kept completely fucking clean. But what's even better is, and genuinely there's a big hole through the card at the beginning. You start off, you show the card with a big fucking hole through it. And then if you want to, you can, before the sticker is peeled off, just give it away and they can peel the sticker off themselves. And there is fucking nothing. Your hands are completely empty and you walk away. Explosions go off. You don't look back. You're wearing aviator sunglasses like Wayne Fox. You look like a god.
It's fucking incredible. It's the second best trick that you've ever created. In my opinion, the best one is the elephant trick, which also people haven't seen. Oh, and I that tells me something. Like, you, even though I always tell everyone how amazing a creator you are, I think you're evolving and going to the next level, because I love your material, but my two favorite things that you've done ever are two of the newest things that you've created.
Well, thanks, man. Well, basically, it came from... I didn't put out as much YouTube content this year. So I had a chance to sit down and think about creating things and giving them more time.
Yeah.
And also just being older, you know, you get to look back, and I thought it was like, I often have to help people improve their tricks. And I found that I wasn't doing it to myself. So I was like with Acme Hole as a prime example, after 10 years, I was like, right, what would I say if somebody pitched that trick to me and it hadn't been done before? And I was saying, like, well, you know, if we're going to make it better, this is what I would love to see you end up with. I was like, well, do it with a card that actually has no gimmick on it and stuff, you know? Yeah. So I was able to sort of like almost have a conversation with myself and then have time to like let that all percolate. But this all sounds very, very airy, fairy, wishy washy. So let's change the subject, man. What are you, because you've got loads of stuff coming out.
I am. And I'll tell you something I'm working on in a minute. But before I do, on the subject of Acme Portable Hole, and specifically you created that with Illusionist, and I need to be clear, Lloyd doesn't know I'm bringing this subject up at all, because he used to work with Illusionist. I know that you don't really like talking about them, but also at the same time, this podcast is about what's happening in the magic community. And this is not about me wanting to do a rant on Illusionist at all. I actually just reviewed the Lava Pad, and I said that I thought it was amazing. I not about that at all. I've been looking at some of the stuff that's going on with Illusionist, and I don't think they're going to be in business that much these days, soon. And I don't mean that in a, oh, Craig's doing a rant on Illusionist again. It's not about that. This is me as somebody who spent 20 years running my own business, looking at their business model, and it just looks like they've kind of mentally checked out a little bit. They spend more time promoting this marketing agency that they've set up. Their socials are nowhere near where they used to be. A lot of the products that are coming out, they're not hyping. There's not new stuff coming out anywhere near as much as they used to be. all of the big names, the face of Illusionist, you know, we used to have big faces of Illusionist, and the most recent ones were, you know, like Mark Lemon and Pete Turner. There's nobody that's really replaced them. There's no real face of Illusionist anymore. They're sending marketing emails out saying, hey, these products are never going to get replaced, you know, which suggests to me, why would you not do that? Why, if you've got a best-selling product, you know, why would you not have it reprinted? Why would you not have it, like... Murphy's are never going to stop bringing out the Quantum deck. I know from looking at the royalty reports, Quantum deck continues to sell years later. It's a, why would you not? Do you know what I mean? So it's like they're saying that a lot of the stuff is going out of stock and it's never going to come back in. So buy it now, which suggests they're kind of downsizing their stock levels. Their Black Friday sale was shit. You know, normally Black Friday is where retailers go nuts. Look at Penguin. We've got 12 new tricks. We've got, we're giving away $1,000 of magic, $10,000.
Vanishing Ink said they're like Black Friday, and this is true across the board. Black Friday sort of bolsters your entire company for the year. Like your Black Friday sale as a magic company sort of gives you that protection that you know you can pay all your staff's wages for the year. It's not about like pure profit. It's about going like, right, that's our safety net for the year sorted.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, is not, you know what I mean? So the
and you look at, I know, you look at Alec Asamo,
I know from working at E, like Black Friday and the Christmas period, that was without that they I remember Brad saying like, you know, they wouldn't survive if they didn't have a solid Black Friday and Christmas period. So I know
and,
that
and,
you know,
and they're not bringing been... they're not sending as many emails out as normal. The reason I found out about their Black Friday was through the Jerks. The Jerks posted on the website, hey, have you seen the Black Friday offer for Illusionist? It ain't very good. And it was like, basically, all they said is, they said, we're not giving anything away for free. Every seventh order is free. But, like, that's not a very exciting promotion. Hey, you've got a one in seven chance of getting a discount and getting your product for free. If not, you're paying full price. Or you can go to
Vanity. Yeah, I seen there was somebody talking about that, and they said then that they posted that they get ended up giving away, like, 50 orders, which means that, like, if every... 7 times 50, like 350 orders. That's fuck all.
I know how many orders Penguin had in the Penguin holiday special, and it's not the Black Friday. And the only reason I know, they haven't told me, I know because Penguin and I bought out for Black Friday Magic Button Light. And it was the lowest tier thing. It was like, you can get Magic Button Light for free if you spend $10. So everybody got Magic Button Light if they spent anything over Black Friday. And so I see how many units of Magic Button Magic Button Light were sold. And we're talking, I don't want to give away their figures, but we're talking, I mean, 350 is a pebble in the ocean of what Penguin did that weekend. Like a pebble. Do you know what I mean?
I'm bound by professional, like, I can't think of the correct word, but yeah, it would be in the, it used to be when I was there, it would be over double digit thousands of sales would not be.
Yeah.
A thing, yeah. Like it would be like, yeah,
which is where Penguin is, and you look at Alec Azam posted on their socials an entire fucking van from the Royal Mail just filled with stuff that was going out for Alec Azam, and that doesn't even count their American orders, like,
yeah,
and that's what I mean. This is not, I know people are going to say, oh, Craig's slagging off Illusionist again. I haven't spoken about Illusionist on my channel for a couple of years. Because there's no.
I don't think it's like. I don't think it's slagging them off. It's not slagging them off to make an observation that it looks like they're not doing well.
Yeah, it just looks. When was the last time somebody had a buzz? They don't talk about Illusionist on Reddit. Their socials, they're not really posting on their socials that much. They're not really posting on YouTube that much. They're not sending emails out that much. There's just no buzz about it. I don't know what it is.
The one thing that like that because I don't give them any attention.
I know.
Like, but the one thing that gets banded about a lot is that they don't have their finger on the pulse of the industry. Like, they spoke about how the playing card industry was dead, and I think they said something like, "There's no money in the magic industry anymore." And because I'm in a privileged position, I actually know. Because, you know, I'm in Murphy's, so we get the overarching view of the entire industry. I've said this a few times, magic at the minute the last couple of years is in a fucking golden era in terms of the industry side of it. So almost every magic company is doing record numbers or matching their previous year's numbers. So if somebody's running around saying there's no money in magic and there's no money in playing cards, and everyone else is going, fuck, we're doing really well, and I know our competitors are doing really well, then that just means that they are not doing well. And their either excuse for it is to say that, and neither their excuse is either to say, we're not doing well, and neither are you, and neither is everyone else, just to like save face, or they believe everyone else is doing really bad. And it shows they don't understand the industry. And if that's where the thinking is at the top levels, then there's no wonder the company seems like, and they could be doing really well, but this is only speculation, right?
Yeah.
But if the people running the company genuinely believe the industry is in a dark era, and that's why they're not making money, and it's clearly wrong. It's just bad business. The other thing is,
you can see the writing on the wall a lot of time with companies. And what I mean by that is, so 1914 have just announced that they're closing down. If you actually step back in hindsight and you look at the 1914 socials and activities over the last 6 months, it doesn't really come as too much of a surprise. They weren't really posting that much on social media. A year ago, they were bringing new stuff out all the time. They were posting content all of the time. They were putting stuff on Instagram, and now nothing. And the reason is Dee Christopher and Jack have gone off and done other things. Dee's performing in America. Jack's filming projects outside of Magic. And so they've closed down. But if you look at it in hindsight and you look at the 6 months leading up to this point, you kind of go, yeah, it should have been obvious. Well, I'm seeing those same signs with Illusionist.
Well, maybe that's it then. Maybe they're just interested in other things. I remember at least when I was there, Brad Christian, all he wanted to do was like, he literally set big parts of the year was like, right, everyone, we're going to sit down and we're going to come up with a new company that's outside of Magic. So I spent a long period of time developing, this sounds ridiculous, but offensive comedy birthday cards and things. So it was like a whole, one company, I think they actually ended up trying to make a little version of it after I'd gone, but one company was just literally like offensive birthday cards and gags outside of Magic. And like, I'm talking half a year. Aside from while working on Magic products, was set aside. I fucking hated it because I'm a magician. That's it. And like, you know, Brad has a wedding company, or he did have a wedding company. He had a Whole Foods company, or like he had a supermarket that only sold like natural ingredients, food with no processed stuff in it. So Brad, for as long as I can remember, or for at least the last like. Whilst I was there, the last half of the... I was there for like 7 years. I think the last like 3.5 years I was there, he was completely interested in being out of Magic. So if that's the goal, then it's the same as the 1914. When the head of the company is interested in doing other things and spending all their time, money, and investment doing other things, then the company's going to wind down. If I was in that position and I had a company, and say I had a magic shop, right, called the Lloyd Barnes Magic Shop, right? And it'd been running for 20 years, right? 20 years of doing anything is enough to give somebody, to make somebody want to like not do it again, you know, anymore. Especially if they've made all their money from it and everything. And I found a new interest in, I don't know, selling foil covered Toblerones that reflect radio beams or some shit like that, then I would probably neatly tie up the company, the magic shop, and be like, all right, guys, we've had a great run. Here's the final is coming up. It's 20 years in business, but you know, I my heart's not in it anymore, and we don't want to let it like grind down to a slow, ugly death like a dog, where you just want to eventually put it out of its misery. You know, I would sort of say, like, I would, like, Johnny Cash, when he died, send him off in a firework, flaming ball of light, blaze of glory, and go that way. That's what I would personally do. And then go off and throw myself at the wall. But maybe they're just trying to get as much as they can out of it, like squeeze the last drops out of it so they can use that for future investments. I'm trying to see like a positive angle on this, but, or maybe they love it and it's just not doing well for them, and they've just taken their eye off the ball, you know, and got lost.
You know, I do know that if you take your eye off your ball, that you can only juggle so many plates.
Yeah.
You can only juggle so many, you can only spin so many plates before the plates start falling. And I know that they've been putting a lot of time and effort into that marketing company that they set up. So maybe they're spinning that plate and everything else, and the stuff over here is just wavering and getting ready to fall. I don't know. But I'm writing my predictions column at the moment, and my prediction for next year, one of my predictions is that Illusionist is going out of business.
I mean, the sad thing is that, and I know it's controversial, but at least when I, like, not because I was there, but the time period of when I was there and before I was there, it was the fuck. It felt to me like, if at least in terms of magic, like the coolest fucking place.
Oh, there was a long period of time where Illusionist was the coolest place on the planet. Like, you wanted to be associated with Illusionist. There was a time when I was working with World Magic Shop, way back in the day, I was like a rock star. I was on the Wizard Product Review. I'll never forget the first year me and David Penn went to Magic Live together, and we were doing like the Wizard Product Review live from there. Like, people were coming up to us and like begging. We were like rock stars. We couldn't go from one side of Magic Live to the other. Like, when I was at World Magic Shop, I was releasing stuff all of the time. I remember thinking to myself, damn, if Illusionist came knocking and asked me to go and do something with them, I'd leave World Magic Shop in a heartbeat, because that's the cool place to be. That's where I'd love to be.
I have my own company called Enigma Limited, and we did like our first year of sales, which blew me away. And I could have been a very wealthy man from just that. And then he asked me to join, and I was like, yeah, done. Do you know what I mean? It was the no-brainer, just because it was so fucking cool. But now it's a lot. I mean, the thing is, every now and then they'll do something cool, like the Ben Earl release, like Ben Earl's. Yeah. Probably one of the best magicians that whose feet touches the ground on this planet. So every now and then they'll work with a really good artist.
Yeah, this lava pad is very good. That is probably one of the only things I bought out this year.
But I think that was an item they bought in, like the French twins produced it, and they like sort of white labeled it.
Yeah.
But for the, you know, because we get to sort of see the what the magic world thinks of everything. It's like they're a laughing stock now.
Yeah, they are. They are. And smaller companies, and Alakazam were always a family-run business, I would be willing to bet that they're turning over and more money and more profitable now than Illusionist, with their two bases of operation. And knowing some of the sales figures that Alakazam do, I could see Alakazam being bigger than Illusionist right now, which I never thought would happen. Not
5 years ago or 6 years ago. This is not a diss to Alakazam at all, but like, that could never have happened.
Nope. Never.
And it's not because magic is in a, there's no money in magic and playing cards are dead. It's just not true.
Peter Nardi's having about 400 holidays a year.
You've got to keep those testicles golden somehow.
He's got to keep polishing them up.
They're going to be crisped up on a beach in Santorini.
Hey, talking about companies shutting down, talking about the 1914, I have some inside scoop information. I can't tell you who. I can tell you. I can put it into the chat, but I can't tell everybody.
I love it when you do this. But just to end on the E stuff, no hate, no anything. You brought it up without me realizing. I just think they're coming to the end. I just think they're coming to the natural end.
Yep.
Based off, you know. And we could both be wrong. They may not be. I'm sure they'll be defined and be like, no, we're not.
Everything has an expiry date. Absolutely everything has an expiry date.
Yours was up 5 fucking years ago, man. This makes me sick.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I'm the little engine that nobody wanted to have around that's still
Right, what's this new company?
So 1914 is getting bought. The deal has been done.
Oh, lots really?
Of stock, 2 smoking barrels, everything. All of the assets of 1914 are being bought.
I bet I can guess who it is. Wait, type it in the chat. Let me see if my guess is correct. Oh yeah,
Okay, so it's going to get announced later on this year, but they've bought the company and including all of the assets, all of the branding, and all of the products that they were working on. There was still like 7 or 8 outstanding products that were happening at 1914, and this company is buying everything and still keeping it on as its own separate brand. So it's not going to be like bought into the company that's buying it.
Clever.
They're going to be
Clever.
continuing that as a separate brand, and they're going to be releasing magic through that and through their own production company as well.
That's clever.
Yeah. It's
Very, very clever.
very, very smart. Very, very smart. The deal has been done.
Well, I can't say much because I don't I will fucking slip up because now I know this information. I'll slip up.
Yeah, and that's for stock and everything and the whole
Great.
thing. Yeah, and
Great.
I think it's going to take that company to an entirely another level, and they're already a big
Yeah, it's
company.
like this is the thing, like with the 1914, fucking phenomenal company. Everything about it was dope. The production quality, the aesthetic, the tricks, the brand ethos. It was like a little British sort of more goth version of Theory 11, which I'm all about. But like you said, same thing with what sounds like the E situation is the people in who run the company, D and Jack. D is doing loads of performance, like loads of shows. Isn't he doing like a tour now as well?
Yeah, he's performing in America. He's also performing at the Magician's Table in London. He's doing his vampire thing as well. Like
Yeah.
he's busy, really
Yeah,
busy.
so it makes sense. Like if you can't give something your 100% all, then the smart thing to do is to bring it to an end or transfer it to someone and let them give it their all, which is great.
It's amazing. Talking about production companies, and this is a nice segue into new tricks. One of my favorite production companies at the moment is Trick Trick Boom, Noel Coulter, Roddy McGee.
Oh man, yes.
Absolutely killing it.
Killing it.
They haven't bought out a bad product. Everything that they have bought out has been amazing. And they've just dropped, and this segues into the new tricks that you were wanting to talk about an hour ago, and I got sidetracked on various different topics like illusionists and Nardi's testicles. But you know, two of the new tricks that came out at Black Friday were Discards by Trick Trick Boom and Ape by me
Yeah.
and Trick Trick Boom. I'm very proud of the fact that I'm the first artist that Trick Trick Boom have worked with outside of you know Nolan Roddy, which
Wow.
was amazing.
I'm surprised because the quality of their tricks have been so good, but then, you know.
Yeah, well, they had to take a hit. I'll
I
tell you, look, I'll tell you something
love that.
actually.
I do love that ape trick.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you something that's very, very interesting. When I came up with that trick, and I absolutely love it. I love that. My close-up case is over there. It's in my close-up case. I do it all the time. And this is, you know, people ask me all the time, and they ask you, how do you pitch a product to a company? And people think that because I bring a lot of magic out, all I have to do is just go to a company and say, I've got this, and you're going to immediately say yes. I've shown stuff to you in the past, and you've gone, nah, Murphy's wouldn't want that. Cool, no problem. I've shown stuff to Alakazam. Nope, great. Ape was created for Penguin. I felt like that was a Penguin trick. They
Yeah, they
do
do a
their
lot of
little
packet tricks,
packet trick.
Penguin.
And I showed it to Penguin, and they were like, nah, we don't think that'll do any good. It's just basketballs and an ape on a card. I'm like, I don't think you're getting it. Okay. And then literally the next day, Noel and I had a chat, and we were talking about something else completely. I was arranging an interview for a new trick that were coming out, and he said, what are you working on? And I showed him Ape, and he's like, oh my God, that is the best trick ever. Because Noel's a worker, it's a working trick, it's designed for. And he's like, that's amazing. That feels so off the wall. It feels Trick Trick Boom. What are you doing with it? I'm like, well, if you want it, you can have it. I just offered it to Penguin, and they said no. I was gonna like just, you know, wait and bide my time. But if you want it, you can have it. And that's how they ended up having it. And then when it came out as a soft launch at Magic Live, Josh Birch was went over to Trick Trick Boom and saw. So Josh Birch is is the marketing guy at Penguin.
Yeah.
He went over to Trick Trick Boom and saw Ape, and then he came back to me and went, just so you know, when you submitted that Ape, I was the one guy that said yes. I think it's amazing. I'm like, thanks, Josh. I appreciate that. But you know, the reason I bring up this story is, you know, if you get turned down by a production company, it doesn't mean it's the end. You know what I mean? Don't feel bad.
No.
you know, as long as you believe.
Well, I always tell everyone as well, there's a home for every trick too. Like there's certain things that where certain tricks feel a lot more suited.
Yep.
So all about that ape trick though, years and years ago, I had an idea for the ape trick, which is nothing like yours, but I watched Darren Brown. So my thinking for this, I should have done something with it. My thinking was, you'd come out. So if you haven't seen it before, there's like what you based it off is there's a clip from Darren Brown. No, Darren Brown uses it in his show, but I think it's from an actual research study lab, isn't it? It's not a Darren Brown thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's people playing basketball and they're passing the ball around. There's like 10 people on there, right? And what is it? They say how many times
there's five players wearing black, five players wearing white, and they've got like seven or eight balls, and they're passing all of the balls round, and you've got to count the amount of times a ball is passed to a player wearing black.
Yeah, so you've got to try and do that, and you focus so hard and try and count so much. And at the end, they say the researcher, because it comes from a real research lab, I think, says, "Did you see the ape?" And when you watch the video back, genuinely, there's a person in an ape costume walks right through the basketball players, right in the middle across the middle of the screen, and you don't see it the first time you watch it because you're counting the basketballs. So my routine was it was a chop cup routine. And you have a chop cup with orange basketball, right? Because I've got a chop cup over here, which has mini baseballs.
Yes, TCC.
This is from the TCC, yeah. So I use an eight ball out. And you say, how many balls do you see? I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Do you see 8 balls? 8 balls, whatever. But this has mini baseballs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you do it with this, but with mini basketballs. And at the end, you say, oh, people think that I'm using more than one. So you start off by show the video of the basketball players. And you say, right, so what, you can count the basketballs. Did you see the ape? Haha. Well, anyway, I'm going to show you this. Your job is to count how many balls I'm using. You do it, and eventually you let on that there's more than one ball. You say there's two balls. And by that point, you load like seven balls in as the final reveal. And you say, how many balls do you think they were? And they say two. And you say, no, there was 10, and drop, and all the balls come out. And then you load a toy ape.
Oh, that's great.
That's the final load. And then you say, ah, but did you see the ape? And then the final load is you drop a toy ape from the chop cup. And it kind of makes it all come full circle. So that was when I first saw the Darren Brown routine years and years and years ago, that was something I wanted to make and actually perform. But I just don't do the chop cup. I got one. I just don't do it. Yeah, we should bring that out.
Well, I love that idea. I absolutely love that idea. Love it. Absolutely love it. Yeah. So my thought process on it with ape was I love any sort of trick where it's based on sort of some real psychological test. So I love the Stroop test by David Jonathan and Nicholas Mavrasis. I think that's an amazing hook. I love the Ishihara test by Liam Levinan. I think that's an amazing hook. Those are both real tests, and it almost feels like you're doing something real for them, and then the magic happens and it becomes stronger. And at the same time, I was showing Ryland that video from years ago, and it kind of just came together. But I had the method for the packet trick before.
It's so clever.
Because the original method was not for an ape. What I was going to do... Do you remember The Matrix, the film The Matrix? And you had that guy that was looking at the screen and there was lines of green code. And he says, I don't see lines of green code. I see a girl in a red dress. I was going to have three cards with code on it. And then all of a sudden there was a girl in a red dress. And that was and I actually have that somewhere. I mocked that up. And when I started performing it in the real world, people were like, it was too obscure a reference. A lot of people didn't remember either Matrix, because it was back in the 1990s, or if they did remember Matrix, they didn't remember that one specific scene from the movie. And without that, it just kind of made the whole thing pointless. And I was like, that's such a shame, because it's such a great reveal across three cards. And then the ape thing happened.
It looks so clean as well. Like the way you structured it, the way it ends, it looks like absolutely impossible.
Yeah, well, Phil Smith designed the artwork for that, and he did an amazing job with the artwork of it. I thought he did such a great job. And there's more to that trick than people think, because the back design's done for a particular reason to help with the moves and so on and so forth. But
Okay.
yeah, it's cool. But have you, I mean, Ape is great, and Noel messaged me the other day and said it's doing brilliantly. Thank you very much, which is great. And I know they're putting it in Murphy's soon, so it's going to go out through all dealers. But Discards, which is the other one they've brought out, have you seen that?
Yeah, I watched the video for that. So it's a deck that's
Really
fucked,
good.
right? Like
It's a
cards
fucked
you don't
deck,
use.
basically. Noel's
It's a
very
fucked
open
deck.
and
I'm going
tells
to turn my
people.
heater off. Go on, keep going.
Yeah. So it's basically a Mirage deck. That's what he's got there. He's got a Mirage deck. So you show the box, it's split, and you talk about how you've got this deck of cards, and these are all messed up cards. So you've got like what a card would look like if you actually did card warp. You've got like cards that have been restored, but the creases are still in there. Cards with different back designs, with different signatures on. And effectively, you show all of these cards, and then you start by slowly removing all of the signatures and making the faces normal. Then you show all of the backs normal, and then you finish off by taking the box, which is ripped, and fixing the box.
Yeah. It's fucking great. The thing that I love about Roddy and Noel is that they are performing these tricks for a long time before they're released. And you just unless you don't know who Roddy and Noel are, but everyone fucking does, you just know that like the stuff they're releasing is the shit that they're doing, which is getting fucking great reactions. You know, even what's the pen called? This crazy pen thing.
Oh, eject.
Eject. Yeah, Noel took me to my hotel room to show me this like fucking 2 years ago or something. And it, like you just know that they've put the time, the effort in to make these things brilliant. And yeah, that what's it called again? The fuck deck? The fuck deck's a better
Discard.
name for it.
Discards,
Cards.
although they should call
Yeah.
it fuck deck. Discards is, yeah,
The
discard.
fuck deck is a better name for it.
But yeah, both of those are now available, and have just been released, and both of them are great. I picked up Discards Blackpool 2 years ago. They had it on launch, and they finally brought it out officially, and it
The
gets,
bit, sorry.
yeah, I was just saying, it gets really good reactions.
Yeah, sorry, I got sidetracked a second. The big release this week is going to be the Tim Conover books.
Yeah, well, Vanishing
Vanishing.
Inca, yeah, Vanishing Inca teasing those right now, and rightfully so. They are, people have been waiting this for a very long time, haven't they?
14 years, something. I know we spoke about it briefly last week, but have you seen what's been happening with Vanishing Ink?
Yeah, we should talk about that. The attacks, they've been attacked,
Yeah.
and man,
A
that's that.
DDoS attack. So basically,
DDoS.
that's where somebody sends like thousands of bots to try and access your website and it overloads it. I think that's
Yeah,
the crux of
that's
it.
effectively
And I
right.
think that somebody is. So there was a point where like the internet went down 2 weeks ago. Like the internet, people say it went down, but like a large part, massive websites like I don't know, Facebook and YouTube, whatever, like huge websites were had these attacks done to their main servers. I think it was Cloudflare. And a lot of magic companies were affected too. But with Vanishing, it seems like they're being targeted specifically.
Yeah, well, I saw the video that that Andy did, and he made it seem like they've specifically had someone pay a company to attack the Vanishing Ink website. And I just
It's
want to
fucking shit,
officially turn
man.
around and say, Peter and Harry, you don't need to go to that level. Like, there's other ways to take Josh and Andy down. Just slap your testicles in their face a little bit. That will do the same job. You don't need to.
It is whoever's doing it, if it's, I'm assuming they're doing it because they have beef with Josh and Andy potentially, right? If I was the detective, I'd be like, right, what's your motive? But if they do, you gotta remember, like, there's other people that work at Vanishing that have families and mouths to feed. And if, like I mentioned earlier, the Vanishing said, like, Thanksgiving is a big portion of like the annual like revenue that keeps, like, you know, not that they're not profitable, but keeps the company going afloat. Essentially, it's like a safety net.
Yeah.
everyone's going to be affected by this, and whoever their beef is with, they need to think if that's what the cause is, right? But they need to think there's actually like a whole staff of people there. And I think what's shit about it as well is that like there's releases that are coming out. Like Christine Grace had a new release yesterday, I think it was.
Yep.
The Tim Conover books, the Clarissa Hendricks. Oh, is it Clarissa?
Nova Rings, yeah.
And the Nova Rings. Bizarro, the new Danny Garcia deck. All these artists are having the spotlight taken away from them. None more so than the fucking 14 years of work and Eric Mead with the Tim Conover releases.
It's bullshit.
Because somebody doesn't like Vanishing Ink, or maybe doesn't like Josh and Andy. So, do you know what I mean? It's like,
As somebody who runs a business where my business relies on the website, because that's how people find us, that is the most disgusting fucking scummy thing that you can do. If you don't like Vanishing Ink, fine. Find another way to voice your annoyance, but don't fucking go and attack their work. They've had a shit couple of years as it is. The warehouse burnt down. They lost tens of thousands of dollars worth of stock. They've just had, you know, crap going on for the last couple of years, and they've continued to do everything they do and put on an amazing conventions and continue to, you know, operate at a very high level. It's this time that it's when something like this happens that it's, you're probably really glad if you're Joshua J, right? If you're Joshua J, you're probably sitting at home thinking, fuck me, the website's getting attacked on Black Friday weekend.
Ugh,
I mean, Jesus Christ, he can't enjoy his Thanksgiving. He can't enjoy anything. It's meant to be the time of the year where he's going to put so much money into the company bank account to, you know, tide them through. It's at that point that if you're Joshua J, you're sitting at home going, thank God I made a giant computer nerd my business partner.
Yeah. That's the same grace.
Because honestly, and I don't mean that in a you know, any other if that happened to Alakazam, Ari Nardi ain't gonna do shit. They're gonna have to go and find somebody.
Don't say that, because now somebody might be like, oh yeah, well, fucking now that you mention it, fuck those testicles. Going down in a shitstorm.
Vanishing Ink didn't have to go get an expert in to go. They were like, Andy, you're on. And like, you've waited your entire life
for this moment.
Rolls, he's there, like a little superhero, just like attacking them back, going, fuck you, motherfucker. I reckon Andy had a bit of
defensive level 9.
I bet Andy had a bit of fun with it if he's honest. Like, yeah, right, come on, bring it on, motherfuckers. Let's do this, you know.
Dude, this is conspiracy theory territory, but the fucking warehouse burns down. Then they get their cyber attack. Is there like some sort of serial magic serial killer out there?
I think there could be. I think there could be.
Who's Kermit the Frog's arch nemesis? Is it Miss Piggy or something? Maybe.
Miss Piggy? Well, no.
Is it the Hamburglar?
I don't know.
This is the type of shit. We need Rory Adams to write a fucking blog, be like,
yeah,
the serial killer, the magic serial killer out to a kill Vanishing Ink. I don't know.
It's always the person that you wouldn't expect. So, I don't know. Oh, I don't know.
Fucking, yeah. It's somebody. Let's throw a cat amongst the pigeons.
Well, somebody's got skin in the game, right? It's somebody, you wouldn't just attack a Vanishing Ink because you've got your, they've got your fucking order wrong, or because you bought a trick that they released.
Well, Vanishing Ink do a lot for magic in terms of anti-piracy.
Yeah.
So it's more than likely it's one of those pirate magic shops.
Yeah. Like, okay, Josh and Andy are going to take us down. We'll take them down first. I wanted to do that in an accent, but I don't know what accent I could do and not have it.
I don't think you're allowed to do any accents these days because you get cancelled. So fuck it, do a Russian accent because they're the people in the films. You will take down my magic shop. This is supposed to be my kitten. Actually, I'm just going to pretend this is Joshua J's head. Oh, attack my magic shop. You steal my stolen goods, I will steal your profits. I'm sorry to all my Russian friends. Like, it's just because you're always stereotyping movies that way. I'm just being a Bond villain.
You are the ultimate Bond villain. That was great.
Ruined what little career I had.
Well, maybe a Bond villain, or maybe the Claw from Inspector Gadget. Like, I was getting Inspector Gadget vibes as well.
I could take the claw. I'll go
Yeah,
for the claw.
cool.
As long as
But
they're
yeah, I
respectful.
mean, Vanishing, despite, I mean, they've dealt with it brilliantly because, first of all, they Gladwined them away. And then the second thing that they've done is they've extended the Black Friday sale all the way through to the last day of shipping in December. So all of the stuff they had on sale, all of their daily deals, all of their discounts, all of their money, they're continuing to
Maybe
put
it's
all of
a ploy to be like, all right, we need a way to make our sale go for an extra fucking week to fucking squeeze some juice out of this.
Andy, can you make
Let's
it look
get
like
people to
the
endorse it. Yeah. Why don't we
website
ask, get people to suggest it to us, make them think it's their idea? Hey guys, our sale was down for a day. Well, hey guys, well, why don't you run it for another week? What a fucking great idea. I think we will fucking put another shrimp on the barbie.
that would be
That's
the
funny.
ultimate conspiracy theory. Vanishing Ink did it to themselves. But
You
you
said it's
never
always the
know.
person you least expect.
I wouldn't expect themselves to do it to themselves, so
They
could
Kaiser Sose themselves.
Oh dear me, that's funny. But yeah, I mean, the Conover, going back to the Conover books,
Oh, yeah,
everyone's
how do we
very,
fucking get here?
we didn't even
Shit.
get there in the end. Everybody's excited about them. The Danny Garcia deck they've
Yeah,
announced
what
in
the
the
fuck is
latest thing,
this?
it's a marked deck, apparently.
How do you know? I was expecting you to go, I don't want to
Well,
spoil it. I know what it
I think
is.
it's because Vanishing Ink fucked it up, because up until yesterday, all of the little clues were Danny Garcia and this amazing deck. But then on the latest email, it was like, this marked deck by Daniel Garcia is amazing. So I put my sleuthy hat on and I kind of just assumed it's a marked deck.
I mean, it doesn't take fucking Sherlock Holmes to figure that out, man.
No, but there you go. It's a marked deck.
If it says w this amazing marked deck, then I reckon it's a marked deck.
It's got to be a marked deck. But if it's Danny
It's.
Garcia, he wouldn't just bring out a marked deck. It's got to be clear. Just the problem is, marked decks, it's a difficult territory to get into because you've got two types of marked deck. The Penguin marked decks are ridiculously cheap. They're $5 a deck if you get them as a brick. They're very easily and clear to read. And if you're the sort of person that wants to have cards ripped up and signed and you're using a marked deck as a gigging magician, you go for that option because it's a very cheap way of actually getting a marked deck of cards that is disposable. If you're wanting a marked deck that's like top of the range, beautifully, you're looking really at Phil Smith with the Elysian Duets. And he's constantly evolving the Elysian Duets. I think it's a difficult space to get into with a marked deck. And you
This is
spent
Danny
years.
Garcia, though. He's going to have an angle which makes you go, fuck, I need one.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he bought out that trick that came out a few months ago, which was nice, but it wasn't groundbreaking. Maybe, I don't know. We'll see. It's obviously got something to do with the maze. My issue with marked decks, and the reason I love Phil so much, is because I've got terrible eyes. I really struggle with marked decks. So whenever I've made a marked deck with
You,
Phil,
your eyes look like someone put thick rimmed glasses on a pug.
it's true. That is exactly what it is. So I really struggle with marked decks. So when Phil makes them, and I've made my own marked decks in the past with decks that aren't decks, as you know, I make it so that I can read them. A lot of other decks I can't read very well. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see. I'm looking forward to it because, like you say, it's Daniel Garcia. It's going to be clever. He wouldn't put his reputation on the line just by bringing out something that is just a small step forward. So, we'll see. We'll see. Could be more than a marked deck, but we don't know. I'll tell you something. I'll go on.
No, I was gonna say I saw a marked deck on the market, and I think I might have been the inspiration for it, but I
Okay.
want to know. I could be wrong. I came up with a trick, which was like called like my ultimate Omega Mega trick or something of all fucking time, and it used Dex, Cognito, and Maxim all in one. Do you remember that trick where the spectator thinks of a card they never say it out loud,
Yeah.
they shuffle the deck, they then deal down to like their birthday or some piece of information you don't know about them.
Yep.
And then their thought of card is that their thought of number. And then the kicker is the deck is blank. And they've shuffled the deck first. That was the
Yeah,
important bit.
I
And
remember
the
that.
secret was a mixture of Dex, Cognito, Maxim. And I took a blank deck and I marked a blank deck. And in all the comments, that this is like years ago, and then all the comments were like, fuck, where can I buy a blank mark deck? I can't get one anywhere. Da, 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 da. And now there's a company that makes blank mark decks. And I was just wondering, I don't know who does it. I think they might be from France. I don't know. But I wonder if
I think it's Magic
if I was
Tree.
The Genesis. I wonder if I was the Genesis for that.
You might have been.
I'm not asking for anything. If I was,
you
I don't
might have
fuck.
Been.
I would love to know if that was the inspiration behind it.
Is it a smart idea?
Or have they been done before? Mark decks been done before my video. Marked blank decks.
I don't think they have. I've never seen anything like that before. I have seen the Magic Tree one. They're very good. I reviewed it.
It's got to be done before me. I couldn't have been there. It has to have been done before me. But I don't know. Maybe it was. Who gives a fuck? Life is too short.
Well, another product. Do you know Mackenzie Soul?
Oh, man. Mackenzie, what a lovely bloke. Yeah. Guy, kid, child.
You know he's bought out.
Friend.
You know he's bought out.
I say kid. He's like, I think he's fucking bigger than me.
He's fucking incredible. He's great. And he's always so nice every time I see him. Well, he's teamed up with Pass Magic. You know Pass Magic? PAS Magic.
I think so.
The two of them are obviously social media megastars.
Mackenzie's one of those people. He's so fucking talented, man. He was on the X Factor in America or something. He got to the live shows. He's fucking young, good looking, big. I'm like, what the? Some people have it, and he's great at creating magic. It makes me think
he is,
you, man.
Well, he showed me something at Magic Live, and it was incredible. And I was like, oh, that's really strong. It's really good.
That chewing gum thing.
Yeah, well, he's just put it's just dropped at Penguin.
Do you know? I don't know the method.
I've just put the link in the.
I've seen it. I don't know the method.
I know the method because you showed it me. It's really strong, self working, beautiful.
Because in the trailer it says it ends clean, so I'm like, well, if that ends clean, what the fuck?
Yeah, it does. It's so good. It's so good. I can predict so many workers doing this. So many workers doing this. This is such a really good thing.
Yeah, it looks really, really good. I don't know if workers would do it because it doesn't seem like a walk-around trick. It seems like you'd do it in your day-to-day life, which I think is better.
Yeah, you could, but you could also do it as a worker. Like, it's got so many different...
Because it's so practical.
Yeah, it's got so... I looked at it and I was like, I could see myself carrying that around, especially at fun days and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, they've just bought that out. Did we talk about the Penguin releases? I think we did, didn't we? The Penguin Magic.
No, but I do have to get going soon. I know I said we have till about 11 o'clock.
Oh, okay. Where are we at the moment? We'll
11 o'clock. But
we're at 11. Okay, so we can do that next week. We can do that next week.
We'll do like a big 3-hour next week. It's only because I have some shit to do. But before we go anywhere, if people are still even bothered listening to this shit,
honestly, they are. Shit, so many people are excited.
Fucking garbage. There is movement with the Magic Podcast Convention. Craig.
Yeah. So I went to the venue. It's amazing. Huge bar area. So that there's loads of tables, loads of sessioning space, which is great. Bar can be open all day. Separate huge area where you can have dealers. And then the theater can be set up with tiered seating, with a projection screen at the back so we can have the all of that stuff on the stage. And it'll be great seating for every single person, which is amazing. And dressing rooms at the back for all of the artists as well. So and it's got its own tech team as well in there as well. Everything.
Oh, perfect. Amazing. So
I'm getting dates this week.
Two days, a 2-day convention, looking at 2-day convention just before the summer holidays start, because it'll break the year up, because everything happens in like January, February, or October. In the summer holidays, people are too busy with family. So we're thinking like maybe the week or the week before or the 2 weeks before the summer holidays start. So about 6 months from now.
Mm-hmm.
What we need help with is coming up with some great suggestions for lectures. Now, we've got to be realistic. It's unlikely we could get someone like Teller, you know, but we can fucking try. We this is the first year. We are not going to be those people that charge £300 for tickets for conventions. This is going to be we're not interested in profit. This is going to be cheapest chips. So we got to be realistic with the amount of money we're going to spend or we're going to have in the kitty for lecturers, I'm assuming. But we need comments and suggestions down below or whatever platform.
Either in the YouTube video, of course, this will go up on YouTube, but it's also going to go up on your favorite podcasting platform. either down in the YouTube comments down below, or it was great to see. We've reopened the official discussion group on Facebook. We're going to make that a lot more vibrant. We're going to be posting in there, or at least I'm going to be posting in there quite a lot. So, and it was great to see from last week's episode, so many people wanting to join. Feel free to have a to start a discussion in there.
Link that. Link the Facebook group in the comments below on YouTube, Craig. Yep.
Good idea.
And the Magic Bar in Blackpool for the tickets. Yep. Link that below. Or get Michael to link that below if you can, because I'm fucking off. But yeah, so we need some realistic suggestions for lecturers for the event. Probably good to have some British and European, because they'll be easier to transport over. Mm-hmm. And then we can totally have a star lecturer as well. So answers on a postcard down below. Obviously, the more people that vote for one person, then we can really say, hey, look, everybody wants this person. Let's do our best to get them. Let's allocate budget to it. Two-day event, it'll be in Birmingham. The venue is secured. It's a theater with an amazing space to lecture, an even better space to jam, and an amazing...
Huge car park as well, and also right next to a main train station.
Yes, so it's probably the most accessible place in the whole of the UK. Not really many people are more than 2 to 2.5 hours away.
And right next to this place, there's a travel lodge, there's a Holiday Inn, and once the dates have been confirmed, I'll reach out to those hotels and see if we can get a discounted rate for people that want to stay over.
Phenomenal. So within the next, I'd like to say January, I'd like to put the tickets out that gives people 6 months plan.
Yep.
And then build it and they will come. We'll this shit, man.
Absolutely.
What was the festival called in Wayne's World? Was it Woodstock?
It was Woodstock. I'm pretty sure it was Woodstock, yeah.
We've got Magic Stock.
Magic Stock. I like the Magic Convention, like you said last week. Yeah. Like, this is the Magic Podcast, the Magic Convention.
That makes sense. Okay, so
You got to bounce?
I've got to bounce. Hold on. I'm just wrapping up.
Okay, well, while he's typing something to me.
2 minutes.
He's typing.
You Schlag.
I don't know what you're doing.
Just talking to me, wife. Yes.
Oh, well, right, cool. He was talking to me. Of course he fucking wasn't.
I've booked in two more lectures. I haven't secured the dates, which dates they want me, but I've said yes, two more lectures. You'd be proud of me, Craig. So, anybody wants me to lecture at the Magic Club, hit me up. hello@lloyd.tv. I've decided to push myself out of my comfort zone.
So I can speak to the guys at the Magic Circle about having you at the actual Magic Circle for the members. That's a yes. Good. You heard it here first. I'll be speaking to Marvin Burglass. I will ring him up.
Fuck.
We'll make it happen.
I was thinking like little magic clubs.
No. Your lectures.
Hopefully they say no.
They'll say yes. So outside of that, thank you once again for joining us on the Magic Podcast.
I'm so happy the podcast is back.
Me too, man. Like, for those of you that are shocked that we're here 2 weeks in a row, so am I. But we're not going anywhere. We'll be back next Wednesday with another podcast. You can access it on your favorite podcasting platform. And for now, it's also going to be on YouTube on Magic TV. Outside of that, leave a comment down below if you're on YouTube. Go and join the official discussion group. Let us know who you want to see at the convention, because it's happening. And down below, get your tickets to the meetup, because I guarantee every year it sells out and people are disappointed. And I'm like, we've had big names say in the past.
It sold out last year and it wasn't even advertised. And I didn't even know it was on.
And it just sold out because, it always does every single year. And we've turned big names away in the past. And they're like, can you just let us in through the door? No, health and safety, fire regulations, we can't. So get yourself a ticket. We're super excited. And Lloyd, what you got to say?
Before I tell everyone to fuck off, when Michael uploads this to YouTube, we can join YouTubes now when we share a video. So ask Michael to add me as a collaborator. It'll create a link. He can send that to me. And then these videos go up as if we've both done it.
Oh,
and
we'll do that then. Yeah.
Because we were in the top 5% of all podcasts globally.
We were.
When we were doing this. Apparently, that's what we kept getting notifications telling us. Yeah. And notifying us.
Which is fucking ridiculous. It's why we got nominated for a FISM award.
Without a podcast. We didn't do it for a year and we were still nominated for FISM. We're fucking winning it this year. We're fucking winning it.
Too bright. Absolutely.
Fucking win it. But yeah, but tell Michael to hit me up as a collaborator. Don't forget to do that. Because then we need to get back into the top spot. We get back into the fucking top.
We're going to do it. Now tell everyone to fuck off, Lloyd.
Have a shit week, you cunts.
And he means it as well. We'll see you next week. Until then, go fucking do one.
Go fuck yourselves.
We apologize for disrupting your normal daily schedule. You may now relax, tuck your deck back in, and resume your regular day-to-day life. Remember to subscribe to be notified the moment each new episode goes live every Wednesday. And join our Facebook group to continue the conversation. The link is in the description to this podcast. Thank you for listening to The Magic Podcast.